Aren't you glad that the Lord promised us He'd never leave us, never forsake us, but He'd be with us always? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. You know, keep your mind on some people who are not here this morning, going through situations and circumstances. We need to hold each other up in prayer. Be mindful of our brothers and sisters. You know, the enemy's out to divide and conquer. But you and I, we've been put together by the blood of Jesus. And as long as we trust in His Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, every lie will fall and strength will come. And we'll fulfill everything that God's got us in store for us to do. Amen. If you would open up your Bibles to, we could look at many places, but let's just look for sake of time. Mark chapter 1. What's on my heart this morning is, what was Messiah's message? What was Messiah's message? You know, the church, if we're not careful, we've got away from the sincere simplicity of the gospel. And we need the fullness of the Word of God. And we've got many-membered bodies, so we need a multifaceted message to cover and meet people's needs. But we've got to stay with the simplicity of that gospel message and understand that Jesus, you know, His message was a message of repentance and believe in Him, just taking Him at His word and coming into the place under the King and His dominion and allowing that kingship and that dominion to go through our lives into a lost and dying world. Amen. And we need to see that the Bible is a love story. It's a love story of the Father to His children. And the cross is a message to the children of God that God just doesn't want to save us from something. He wants to restore us to something. And if we're not careful, we get so one-sided about just being saved from something that we miss the restoration part. God wants to restore you and I to fellowship with Him through His Son by the Spirit. And He wants us to convey that to a lost and dying world, and be the stewards. You are stewards. You're kings and priests in this earth, and we need to live like it. Amen? All right, Mark chapter 1. Let's read verses 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And we can get this out of every gospel, but notice what the Word of God says. Now that after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news, the good tidings of the kingdom of God. What was he preaching? Verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Brother Corey, would you pray?
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have built, come together and building the body of believers, God. We are your church. We are your people. We are your temple. We are your sanctuary. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be that. And we can be that.
Yes, Lord.
You come and dwell with us. And God, we thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name that we experience this next part of the service this morning, that you will help our hearts to be open to what your Spirit has to minister to us, what your Spirit has to
yes. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Corey. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So what's on my heart this morning, you can make a mental note of. God wants us to concentrate this morning, kingdom location, kingdom location, kingdom language, because we've got to change our speech. Amen. And then He wants us to see that we have a kingdom that's lasting. Kingdoms. So I want you to take those three things. That's what was impressed on my spirit this week, was those three things. If you know where the location of the kingdom is, and you allow the speech of the kingdom, the language of the kingdom to come out of your life, you're going to be lasting. Amen. You're in this for the long haul. Amen. All right, so let's look at some things this morning. I want you to be very encouraged this morning. I want you to leave here believing that by the Spirit of God, you're going to hear something in your spirit that will answer some questions. Some of you are going through a valley of decision. And this morning, you're not here by accident. You're here by destination, by appropriation of the Spirit of God. And you're going to hear what you need to hear. Amen? All right. Verse number 14, that says, now that after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we've got to see in the gospel of Mark that he does things just a little bit different. And so Jesus started his Judean ministry about a year before this. But Mark does a little, he skips from the time of the baptism and skips that and goes right into the Galilean ministry. And you can, if you want to dive deeper into that, you can look at John chapter 2, verses 13 through chapter 4, verse about 43, and you can get a little more backdrop on that. But here he wants to bring this emphasis to us that John, being the greatest born of woman besides Jesus Christ, was an Old Testament prophet. Amen? And so what we've got to see is that because you and I, being born of flesh, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we can't live by the Old Testament in the sense that we can't fulfill that. And the law puts us in prison. Prison because not that it wasn't good, I just couldn't do it. Amen? And so this morning, we've got to see that Jesus comes with the grace of God. He comes with the message that, hey, what you can't do, I'm going to do for you. But when you and I believe in the heart and confess with the mouth Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that being born again of His Spirit, then by the anointing, it empowers us to keep rising in Jesus. You and I, we're going to be better every day. We're going to be more holy every day. We're going to be more sanctified every day because we're going to hear the truth, and the truth is going to make us free. Amen? But the key that what you and I have got to live under, and we've got to help people to see, living under Jesus instead of the world, is that the time's fulfilled. This is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. This is the day for you and I to walk in a new level of Jesus Christ, to bring the gospel message to a lost and dying world, not just in words, but by actions. Amen? By showing them by our everyday lifestyle that, yes, we are different. We are unique. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are coming out from among the world and touching not the unclean thing. Amen? Because Jesus is improving our lives by showing us truth. Things that used to be a lie to us, that used to be pleasing to us, that used to be a desire of us, we see that they're unfilling. They're empty. Amen? They're vanity. And He's showing us what is the true meat of the Word of God. And that's a relationship with God the Father through Jesus. So Messiah's message was a message of grace, but it was a message of power. Because when the grace of God comes in your life and my life, there is a power to change. There is a power to see that God wants us to fellowship with Him continually. That's the kingdom. The kingdom of God is that the King Jesus lives within us. He abides with us and He talks to us. And we don't have to depend externally on somebody else. But we can have Jesus with us 24/7. Amen? What a promise. What a message to give a world that is looking for something, but they don't know where to look. Amen? So let's talk about this. How does it come to pass? He said that this kingdom of God is not out here somewhere. It's at hand. Meaning, it is within you taking Jesus by the hand. Come on, Jesus is knocking. He's knocking on every heart door. And a person has to hear that knock and make a conscious decision to open that door and to let Jesus in. And when you and I have done that, we got the fullness of the kingdom. We got all of the Godhead in our lives. We got all the promises that are yes and amen. We got everything that God would have for us. And we got a message to tell people. Amen. And so His message is that He wanted to be a part of all of our lives. And so He said the key is that you just got to repent. Repent. Meaning what? You know, we put this big connotation on repentance in a world that doesn't understand it. They don't, you know, we joke about it, this Christianese language. You know, we have terminology and words inside the church that the world doesn't understand. But what does repent mean? It simply means to think differently, to change your way of thinking. Think about this morning how differently you think in certain areas. It almost makes you smile. After you've been touched by Jesus, the understanding how much He loves you. Because, see, before, I thought that God was against me, that He hated me. No, God was against my old way of thinking, my old sin, but He loved me. Amen? He had a plan for me. God wanted me to fellowship with Him. He wants you to fellowship with Him. So God is a good God. He's a good God of love, and He's a good God that is going to have to judge the world someday. But praise God, you and I, our judgment took place at the cross. Amen? And we want to get that message to a group of people where they can repent, where they can change the way they think. And all it takes is just believing that God loves them. Believe it. Believe. How can people believe that God loves them? Because you love them. It's hard to love unlovable people. But when the Spirit of God comes on you and you allow that Spirit to flow through you, it touches people. It shows people that something is different in your life. It's not man-made, but it's supernaturally sourced. It's supernaturally powered, and it's eternal. Amen? All right. So let's look at some things. Kingdom location. Kingdom location. Go with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus here, he just heals these lepers. And there's one that comes back to praise Him. All 10 were cleansed, better said, instead of healed. And so, starting in verse number 20, after this cleansing of the lepers took place, and it's important that you hold that in the connotation of the context of what we're talking about. But in verse number 20, Luke 17:20, and when he was demanded, don't you love that? And when he was demanded of the Pharisees where the kingdom of God should come. Now, we've got to see that and understand that they saw a miracle. They didn't want to acknowledge Jesus. They saw the cleansing of the lepers. And the cleansing power of God, of these lepers, they saw it, and they knew that the finger of God was in manifestation, whether they wanted to accept it, believe it or not. And so they say, they bring that that question to Jesus, and they said, when the kingdom of God should come? And he answered them, and he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, he said, you don't even know. You don't understand. You're looking for something external. You're looking for something during the millennium. And I've got something that's at hand. Remember, repent ye, believe the gospel, because the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, I can reach it this morning. You can reach it. We can reach out and touch the kingdom of God, and we can pull that kingdom into our lives. Amen? We have a God that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We've got a Savior that wants to minister to people. He wants to meet them where they're at. He is at hand. That's the message. That's the kingdom that we're serving. That's the kingdom that we're under. Amen? And here He is. He's reaching out to somebody who had to stay 300 feet away. They had to stay at least 300 feet away from everybody else and say, unclean, unclean. But Jesus said, no, I'm the God that can touch you and can change your life. I'm the God that wants you to come and touch me. Amen? That's the kingdom. That's the message. The message is you come to me. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you've been in. I don't care how vile the world looks at you or what they've labeled you. The message of Jesus is, I want to help you. I want to be your God. Amen? That's His message. And so this morning, you and I have got to be in a place and a position that we see it's not an external kingdom. Look at verse 21. Neither shall they say, red lettered out of the mouth of Jesus, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, He said, now I want you to see this. This word behold, it means to see with spiritual eyes. If you're looking on the external, you'll never get it. But if you'll see by the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your spirit, you can get it. He said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you, inside of you. Every blood-bought believer, when you get born again, you come into this intimacy. You see, the Word of God, which is Jesus, comes inside of your spirit, inside of my spirit, births us, causes us to be born again. And there's a oneness there that cannot be broken unless I walk away from it. God's not going to do it. Amen. Think about this tonight. So Jesus is wanting us to see that the kingdom location, the kingdom of God, is within you, within me. See how that changes your focus? See, we're always looking for man to tell us something. We're always looking for God to come on the scene when He's right here. See, you walk by faith. You don't walk by sight. It doesn't matter what you're feeling. It doesn't matter what I'm feeling. See, that people come to me, they come to you all the time. And they go, I don't even know if I'm saved. Why do you not think you're saved? Because I don't feel God. The devil will do anything and everything to browbeat you. He is an evil entity. And he wants to make you feel all alone. When you feel all alone, that's when Jesus is the closest, but you can only access that closeness by opening the door of faith. Amen? And so his message is, I'm with you. I'm with you. I want you to feel me. I want you to know that. He says the kingdom of God is within you. Let's build our faith on that. Let's just look at some scriptures. We had a few of these in Bible study. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, you're going to leave here so in faith. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. Examine yourselves, in other words, test yourself, whether you be in the faith. He says, prove. I want you to discern. Discern your own selves. Know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is where? Jesus Christ is where? In you, except you be reprobates. Now, he's talking to the church at Corinth. He's talking to blood-bought, born-again believers. He said, examine yourself. In other words, know that Jesus is in you. Yes. Now, where Jesus is the Father. Where the Father is the Spirit. You can't separate them. The Godhead. Jesus said, I am going to go away. And when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter. John 14. I'm going to send somebody just like me. And we're going to come and abide with you sometimes. Come on, that's what Jesus, that's the kingdom. That's the Messiah's message. You're never alone. No matter what it feels like, Jesus is in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? All right, let's build our faith. Go over to Galatians. One more, just go over a page or so. Galatians chapter 1. Look what the Apostle Paul tells the church at Galatia. Verse number 15. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. How many has been called by grace this morning? Come on, let me see your hand. Called by grace. Grace called you out of the world. Grace enabled you and empowered you to believe God. And when you believed God, you repented. You changed your way of thinking and you were born again. What did it do to you? Verse number 16. This is why you were called, just like the Apostle Paul, to reveal His Son outside of me. Hallelujah. Come on now. See, the world is looking to see Jesus. But the only way they're going to see Jesus is see Him come out of you. Because you have a commission. You have an authorization. You have a possibility today and every day of your life to bring the kingdom. Because the kingdom, the location is within you. God wants to reveal His goodness. He wants to reveal His blessings. He wants to reveal His will. He wants to reveal His plan. But He can only do that through His church, through you. Amen? He wants a revelation. I want you to walk around and ask God. Say, God, how can I reveal Jesus today? What's my call today? What's my role today? Where are my steps going to be ordered today? Because Jesus is coming out. Amen? I'm not going to hide Him under a bush. I'm going to let Him shine by the glory of God. It's not me, but it's Him in me. It's not you. It's Him in you. Amen? To reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately He said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. You and I, we can't let the flesh, come on, It'll stop the plan of God. My flesh is fearful. My flesh is revengeful. My flesh is hateful. My flesh is all about what it wants, not what God wants. We can't even, when the flesh brings a question, laugh at it and say, you go back to the cross by the help of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look, you got a little bit of time here. Look at chapter 2, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Where's the kingdom of God? The location? It's in you. Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I am. Now, that's present tense. Paul said, I die daily. This is a continuing action. I am crucified. I am being crucified. I'm going to continue to be crucified until I either go by the way of the grave or the breath of life. Amen. All right. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. Woo! The Son of God is living in me. He's living in you. That means He's living from you as well. Because when He lives in you, He expresses Himself out of you. Oh, my. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the express image of the invisible God. My Father, your Father. And so Jesus expresses God the Father in a way that you and I, the church, can see. And now the church expresses Jesus to a lost and dying world in a way that they can see. Oh, hallelujah. The message of God is that the location of the kingdom is not out in eons of past, future, and forever time, but it's in His church. It's in His church. And because of the crucifying of the flesh, making people look and say, boy, they're different. They think different. They act different. They talk. Something's different about them. This is real. This God that they're talking about is genuine. Amen? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by feelings. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You're going to have to be a faith walker, a faith talker in every situation. Amen? One more. Go to the fourth chapter. I want you to be encouraged, because if you don't feel like you're in this place yet, here's a scripture that's going to help you. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 19. I have to stand on this verse. Amen? This is my come-to verse to come out of lies and come into truth, to be empowered by the Spirit of God. My little children, the Apostle Paul talking to the church here, he said, of whom I travail. In other words, he said, I keep going over and over this birth pains. I don't give up on you. Why? Because Jesus was in him. We can't give up on each other. We can't give up on the lost. We've got to keep going through the birth pains, through the travailing. He said, I travail in birth again anew until what? Christ be formed in you. Now see, there's areas of my life that I can just walk. Oh, it's joyous. It's glorious. Thank God for it. There's other areas where I'm slipping, I'm sliding. There's other areas where I'm crawling through the muck. There's other areas where I can't move. But I'm going to give Jesus glory because I'm not going to stay in that place. He's going to move me out of that place. Amen? Because I'm going to allow the Word of God. I'm going to allow the message of the location of the kingdom. The kingdom is the King of Kings and His dominion. So all I've got to do is say, Lord, I want You to travail in me again. I want You to bring this Word of God across my spirit again. I want You to help me to birth this truth. I'm not going to live a lie. I'm not going to believe a lie. I'm going to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to allow You to be formed in me. In other words, this morning, there's some areas in your life and my life that the Spirit of God is going to flash on our spirit. And He's going to show us where we're at, but He's going to show us where we can be. And it's not going to discourage us. It's going to excite us. That's right, Brother Whitby. It's going to raise us up. Amen. It's going to give us a hope, a confidence. Amen. And so I want you to know this morning that your life is as good as it is in the best area, it can be better. And as bad as it is in one area, it's not staying that way. Amen. You are going to be changed. You're going to be formed and built up in the truth of the Word of God. All right. Let's get out of the location and let's go to the language. This is how it comes to pass. Go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, out of the mouth of Jesus. This is your kingdom language. Look what he says. He goes into this great teaching in this sixth chapter, and he tells them about, hey, you've got to eat my body and drink my blood. And, of course, you and I, on this side of the cross, we understand he's talking about communion. He's talking about the truth of who he is and assimilating that in our lives. They couldn't understand that. And they say there in verse number 60, John 6 and 60, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? This is a dry, hard, tough saying. And verse 61, then when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, who's murmuring? His disciples. You're going to hear some things sometime that's going to rub you the wrong way. You're not going to like it. But you know what? The greatest thing in my life, the greatest thing in your life is when we hear the truth and we don't like it. Because that means that I'm going to be able to repent. And when I repent and believe the gospel, I come under the kingdom. And when I come under the kingdom, then all of a sudden the kingdom comes out of my mouth. Come on, out of the Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. When we get this kingdom in our life, we start saying what God says. And when we start saying what God says, we start having His promises. Amen. And so they murmured against Jesus. And He said unto them, "Doth this offend you? Does this cause you to trip up?" He says, drop down to verse 63. Verse 63, he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. In other words, it's the Spirit of God that makes you alive. The things that makes our flesh feel good, we need to recognize it, it's death. It's temporal. It has no life-giving substance. It may satisfy for a moment, but it's not what you and I are looking for. Notice what he says. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. This is a double negative in the Greek. The flesh is nothing and it will produce nothing. Amen? And he's wanting us to get that in our heart. So everything that the flesh is wanting you and I to do, we need to recognize it. It's a ploy to get us out of the kingdom. Now see, there's a few things I'm successful on. There's a whole bunch more that I'm not, but I'm coming around to it. Those things that I'm successful on, when my flesh tells me something, immediately I go and I say, Jesus, I need the dominion in this. You help me do the opposite of what I'm feeling and what I'm saying. And when he does that, I walk right over that for his glory. Now, there's a lot of times I'm over here in the pile, but that's changing. Amen? God's a God that is always helping us. Now, notice, where am I at? And then notice he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now notice, here's your key. This is your kingdom language. The words that I speak. Come on, the words, Jesus has got words for you. He said, the words I speak unto you. See, the devil says, oh, God ain't got nothing to say to you. God is talking every day. By the power of his Spirit, thank God for this book. We have this logos, this written word that we can go to every day, and we need to be in it every day. But we need the Holy Spirit to take the words off the page and put them in our spirit. We need it to come alive to us because it is alive. It is not a it, it's he. It's Jesus, amen? And so he said, I've got words to speak unto you. Notice this. Jesus' words, they are spirit because the flesh profiteth nothing. They are spirit, and they are life. So everything that Jesus said is going to bring the Zoe, the God kind of life. Now, the words that my flesh likes to hear is, oh, It's okay. Go ahead and do what you want to. We'll take care of it later. The words of Jesus are, I've got something better. I've got something more. I've got something that's eternal. Now, he said, I have to repent, change my way of thinking, and just believe him. Just believe. This morning, could our lives be greater? Yes. Are they going to be greater? Yes. Amen? Because we're going to do what Jesus said to do. Let's look at some stuff. Go with me over to the 8th chapter. We're in the 6th chapter, John 8, 26. Look what Jesus says. This is the kingdom language. He says, I have many things to say and to judge of you. Notice this. I have many things to say. He's talking to the Pharisees here and the scribes, and they can't hear it because they're carnal. They can't hear it because they're still of their father of this world. And so this morning, I want you to take the positive side of this. If Jesus had many things to say to them, woo! How many things did he have to say to a blood-bought, blood-washed child of God this morning? He has the answer to every question that you're dealing with. Now, those in the valley of decision about some things this morning, you're going to hear by the Spirit of God. It's not going to come by man, but it's going to come by the Lord. There's going to be a bearing in your spirit, a witness, and you're going to know exactly, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is how it's going to happen, and I'm going to walk in it no matter what it feels like to the flesh, no matter what it looks like, and it's going to be all right. Amen? Now, notice what he said. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. Jesus says, I'm speaking the things I've heard of God, my Father. Remember, he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Jesus said, the works that I do. So that means you can see and you can hear. So your kingdom language is, Lord, I can do. See, can I be honest with you? I've been trying to work my way through a funk. I've been under an attack that has really been hard, but I've also been under chastisement. And so, when revelation come to where I seen the attack and I seen the chastisement, then I was able to do something. See, the devil wants us to confuse the attack and the chastisement. This morning, I want you, by the Spirit of God, to be able to discern the difference. And I want you to be able to walk up in who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen? We've got to change the way we say some things. Even though our mind... Now listen, you can believe in your spirit and doubt in your mind. Amen? That does not nullify your faith. That doesn't stop the power of God. Because your mind is being renewed. Your spirit is perfect. So even though your mind is saying, are you nuts? You keep saying what the Spirit of God is putting in your heart. Keep saying it. Because as you say it, all of a sudden your mind, your soul, will, and emotions start being renewed to that truth. And all of a sudden, you have what you say. Amen? Hold on to it. That's your language. That's your language that you've got to believe. Let's look at something. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, I think it's about verse 21. Here's the Matthew's version of what happened in Mark 13. Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily or truly, assuredly, that's a legal term, that's an oath, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, if you have faith and doubt not, you should not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it might be done. Hallelujah. Verse 22, and all things, now mark that down, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Now, just like in Mark 13, you know, it's dealing with speaking and praying. And Mark's doing the same thing. But Jesus gives us an example here. He said, you've got to have a kingdom language. And your kingdom language is not just your prayer life, but your kingdom language is how you shape your life. Your kingdom language is using the power and the authority of the spoken word. You change in your life what you see that is not under the kingdom. You see, people get in there and they misunderstand what we're trying to say. And they say, who do you think you are? I'm a Christian. Who are you? You're a Christian. You're a child of God. We're not doing anything other than what Jesus told us to do. If you're not satisfied with your life because it's not what Jesus said it should be, you've got to change it. I've got to change it. It's not that we're taking the plan and the power away from God, but we're allowing God to be God in our life. We're allowing the kingdom to come to us. Amen? This is what this is about. And so you talk to some people and they say, oh, you're part of that name it and claim it, that blab it and grab it. No, they're misunderstanding what Jesus said. Jesus said, you've got to speak to your mountain. He said, I'm not going to do anything about it. You've got to speak to the unfruitful thing in your life. You speak to it. And then when you go to God in prayer, he said, you believing, you shall receive. Now we're so timid. And we look at things in such a contrary way. That word receive, my mind's racing. I believe the word is lambano. But the word doesn't mean for somebody to hand me something. I've got to reach out and take it. Now, I'm not taking it from God in a forceful way. I'm taking Him at His word. I'm taking Him at His promises. And I'm taking from the devil. The devil's the one that withholds good things from you. Right. Amen? Not God. God said, I give you Jesus, and if you got Jesus, you're a joint heir. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're heirs of God, but we're joint heirs with Jesus. That means everything that Jesus owns, you and I have an heirship of that. That's the kingdom. That's the Messiah's message, but we've got to see it. Amen? And we've got to learn to say, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Jesus here, starting in verse number 33. Mark 4:33, and with many such parables spake he the word unto them. Notice this. Mark this down in your mind's eye. As they were able to hear it. As. Sometimes we don't want to hear. He says in verse 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things. He expounded all things to his disciples. I'm a disciple, aren't you? So Jesus wants to take and he wants to give us the hidden manna. He wants, remember the book of Revelation, the churches, the seven churches? He wants to give us that hidden manna. Now notice what happens, verse 35. And at the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Come on, that's you and I. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. It was filling. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, care us not that we perish. Now, this is an example of what you and I don't need to do. Remember, you have a kingdom location. The kingdom is in you. You're under the king and the dominion. You have a kingdom language. The kingdom language is you speak to your problem in his name. Their words are, Master, don't you care that we perish? Now, see, I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to you because God's trying to help me. Okay? God, do you not know how much this bill is? God, do you not know that's more bill than I've got money? Come on now. Is that what Jesus said to do? Come on, let's look. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, saying, Master, care us not that we perish. And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The last thing Jesus said was, we're going to the other side. Jesus said that you're the head, not the tail. So when the devil starts trying to direct you and take you to a place that you don't want to go, laugh at him. Say, no, devil, no, you don't. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, my Savior, He's my head. I'm in Him. You're under His feet. I don't have to follow you. I don't have to yield to you. And you stand up and you speak to that. That's your language because of the location. You know who you are and you know what's inside of you. Amen? The world has to have this message. They have to know that Jesus is greater than the problem, than the struggle. People are dying. There are being, I tell you what, the spirit of suicide is coming across. There's a move that's happening all over the world, but there's a move that's coming here that you and I are going to have to stand against. And it's bringing depression, oppression. It's bringing confusion. It's bringing darkness. And you're going to see, if you and I don't stand up and be led by God, we're going to see people that's going to submit and fall to it. But we have a message of victory, a message of deliverance, a message of hope. And that's Jesus, amen? But we've got to speak. Jesus said, He didn't get up and say, oh my, we're going under. What did He do? He spoke to it. He spoke to it. That's the language. Okay. So, real quick, because you have a kingdom that's located in you, you have a kingdom language, you're in a place of eternal lasting. You have a security. Psalms 145. Look at verse number 13. Psalms 145, verse 13. The kingdom, talking about God's kingdom, thy kingdom is what? Everlasting kingdom. And thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Now, we know what the Bible says. You can look in Proverbs. You can look at the last generation about the apostasy of the last days. And you need to see where you're at and what you're located in time. And you need to stand up and say, Jesus has dominion in my generation. Now, I can't do anything about anybody else other than tell them the truth. But in my generation, it's an everlasting kingdom. What He started, the Bible says He is faithful to finish. Amen? And He has dominion. The whole world may be going to hell all around me, but I'm not. My household is not. God promised me and my household. Amen? I'm standing on the Word of God. I am in the everlasting kingdom. God saved me, and when He saved me from the foundation of the world, because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain from the foundation of the world, He had a plan, and I'm a part of it. You're a part of it. Real quickly, just He said, verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. Come on now, something happened to somebody in the last week or two. It doesn't matter. Jesus is the answer. He's here to take care of it. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and He raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Oh, that's our Jesus. The eyes of all that wait upon Thee, Thou givest them their meat in due season. He has a word for us. Thou openest Thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. That's when we're under the dominion. That's when we're in the place where we're confessing that His generation has the last say. Two more verses, I'll let you go. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, Messiah's message to you and I, to the world. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5. This is His message getting ready to the churches. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Thank you, Jesus. And notice this. This is you and I. This is the kingdom, the dominion that is within us. Verse number 6. And He hath made us, past tense, He hath made us kings and priests unto God. A king rules by decree. A king rules by the words of his mouth. A priest serves God. Holy and sacrificial, we let our requests be made known unto God. But we're in a place where we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Amen? And He has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion for a little while. Forever and ever and ever. The dominion. God's kingdom is located in you. God's kingdom is a language that's been given to you. And God's kingdom is lasting. So there may be times that we've slept in certain areas. There may be times that we've slipped in certain areas. But God is faithful. And He's just in giving us Jesus for our repentance. And then He gives us the ability to believe. So Messiah's message this morning to us is that we've got to start operating in these truths. So we can be a group of people that can reach those who are lost and undone. See, Jesus is waiting for the enemies to be brought under His feet. I'll close with this thought. The Roman Empire, which so much parallels where we're at today, wouldn't you agree? Was a powerful empire. And what they would do is they went and they took ground after ground. They would take and they would make each city, they would make it to just the way that Caesar liked it. They would build the buildings he liked. They would be in the style that he liked. They would have the fountains and all of these things. They had a pattern, and they brought each city under subjection to the pattern because they knew that the king would like it. You and I, God's ambassadors, anointed, authorized, called, we are to what? We are to make this world look like what Jesus would want. Now, we can't affect any further than our sphere of responsibility and our realm of authority, but we need to stand up in that realm of authority and make it comfortable for Jesus. I want Jesus to be able to walk into your life, into my life, and it looked just like sitting on the right hand of the Father. Now, that rubbed the flesh wrong, but that made your spirit hop. Amen? It's not just an option. It's not just a hope. It's a probability because we have the Word. All we have to do is to believe it after we repented of any other thought and allow it to happen. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for this group of people. I thank You, Lord, for Your blessing, Your promise, and Your provision. I ask that You would touch each one of us and give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us be bound together in Your perfect will with cords of love that cannot be broken. Lord, any lie that is being manifested in our lives this morning, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whatever it might be that is contrary to the Jesus that said, I come that You might not only have life, but You might have it more abundantly. Help us to see that this morning. Help us to repent for believing anything of the enemy. And let us come under the kingship, under the dominion, and allow You to bring promise and provision into those situations and circumstances. Let every person be encouraged. Let them feel their need within this body. Let them know that they're loved. And even though we may look at things and see things from different point of views, we've got to recognize and realize that we're all on different levels. But the common denominator of everything is Jesus Christ Himself. Let it be, Father. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Would you come and make yourself an altar and allow this word just to be real to you? Allow you to be in the place and the position where you see the power of the kingdom inside of you and that you can speak what God would have for you out of your own mouth this morning and you can take, you can receive the promises of God. Would you come? Would you come? Because your kingdom is everlasting in Jesus Christ. This trouble is just for a moment. Remember, joy comes in the morning. The morning, the sun is wanting to shine in your circumstance, in your situation. Would you come this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, draw by your Spirit. Help every person be built up and encouraged in you, Father. I ask you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.